And I'm sure that God has shown Pastor John some things as we prepare ourselves to head into a new year. And I'm always excited to see what God is going to do. So, Father, we give you praise and we give you thanks for this day. We thank you, Lord, for, Lord, this year that we've enjoyed, Lord, the new friends that we've made, the salvations that have come, Lord, the blessings, and, Lord, even those who have departed to be in your presence for all eternity. Now, Father, I pray your blessing, your anointing upon this holy word that you provided for us today. We pray, God, that it would be, Lord, as honey to our mouth, to our taste. And we pray right now that you'd anoint Pastor John as he brings forth this word. Lord, let your anointing pour forth over him like oil. Father, we ask in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.
Oh, amen.
Before you preach, Bob did mention to me we had a young lady today give her life to the Lord. Her name was Jordan. Where's she at? Is she in here? Jordan? Okay, where's she at? Maybe stepped out. Well, I'll find her out in the hallway and instruct her about the first thing you do when you get saved is bring coffee every Sunday. And okay, she came from up north and had to go back. So, yeah, not a coincidence. And I am going to write that book. Not a coincidence. So, you know, God always has a plan and a purpose, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
All right. Take it away. You ready? I promise I'm not going to interrupt no more.
All right. We're good. Over the years that we've been here, and it's been a long time, we have people fill out visitors cards. And if you're not a visitor, you may not have, been a long time, you might not have seen one of those. But we have these little cards that people fill out, and, we give them a CD or a DVD or a CD of the message and that. And we also put on there, we ask if they have any prayer requests. And there's one prayer request that seems to outnumber all the others. There's always a lot of different ones. But there's one that stands out in my mind that I see so often, and it is, I would like a closer relationship with God. And I can't imagine any Christian who would not want a closer relationship with God. I mean, wouldn't it be great if God, I was thinking about this, if God chose a different church every month, and next month was our turn. And throughout the month, he'd come in and he'd set up appointments. And, he could come and we could spend one-on-one time with him and meet with him. And, personal time asking his advice and getting direction for our lives. We could talk about our marriage and we could talk about our kids and we could talk about our family and our careers and our health and our hurts and our sorrows. And we could discuss our fears and our finances and all these different things. And, we could certainly talk about our relationship with him. And we could tell him how much we love him. And he could tell us how much he loves us. And he could tell us about the plans he has for us both here and in heaven. And we could ask him all the questions we wanted. No holds barred. And the best part about that would be that we would always get the absolute truth. We would get the perfect answer to every question. I mean, if you had that chance, how many would take advantage of that opportunity? Would you do that? Wouldn't that be nice? Well, I've got good news for you, because that's the kind of relationship that God does want with us. James 4:8 tells us, come near to God, and he will come near to you. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Revelation 3:20, one that Candace mentioned. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. In other words, we'll spend quality time together is what he's saying. God wants to be close to you. He really does. He wants to draw us near. We sang that song, draw me close to you, draw me near. And God wants to develop, he wants us to be able to develop this personal relationship with him. And his Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is always going to be nudging us. He's always going to be trying to lead us or draw us closer to God. That's his job. That's what he does. And he wants us to have this relationship with our Heavenly Father. And that's what I want to talk about today, and actually probably for a little while. about having a closer relationship with God. As I get started, the first thing I want to look at is what having a closer relationship does not mean. I've met many people who have an amazing knowledge about the things of God, and even a knowledge about God himself. And some have read the Bible through many times, and they can quote scriptures, but does that really mean that they know God? Being near to or intimate with God doesn't just mean knowing about God. Satan knows the word. He knows it. Remember, he quoted it to Jesus in the desert. He knows the word backwards and forwards. He knows all about God. And he knows his word better than any human will, and yet he really doesn't know God, know him in that personal, loving relationship kind of way that God is looking for with us. There are people who are preaching, teaching, doing all kinds of godly works that really don't know God. It's sad to say, and in fact, there's many of them on TV. There are people who pray, witness, tithe, worship, speak in tongues. They do everything a true Christian does. Maybe they've seen it, they've heard it, they've learned it somehow. And doing all those things is wonderful. I mean, that's great. I mean, we need to do all those things. Learning about God is important, real important. But never, never, ever can knowing about God replace knowing God. There's a huge difference between knowing about him and knowing him. I mean, there are people that know certain sports stars. They know everything about their life. Maybe it's a movie star. They know everything about their life. Maybe it's a rock star. They know everything about their life, and they've never met him. But they know everything about him, everything they said, everything they sang, everything they wrote, everything they did on the field, but they don't really know them at all. Can you imagine living your life thinking, you know, I've got it made, I've been serving Jesus, I've been doing all these works for him all my life, and then we pass on from this life and we go to meet him. The worst thing we could ever not want to hear would be what was Jesus said in Matthew 7:23. To people who had done all these things, away from me, for I never knew you. See, they did the works, but they didn't really know God. Anybody can do works in his name. But remember the story about Jesus and Martha and Mary, and what Jesus told Martha when she wanted Mary to leave the feet of Jesus and help her. It said in Luke 10, chapter 40, verse 42, Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Jesus and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Now here's Mary. She's at the feet of Jesus, listening to him, spending time with him, getting to know him. Martha's just running around, busy, 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 busy. She was a busy person. And here's what Jesus' answer. He said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, and indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. And you know what she chose? She chose to be with Jesus, to know him, to get to know him. Mary chose to draw near to him and have this personal relationship with him. God wants us to draw close to him. He really does. He's looking for that, to really get to know him. God's not looking for people to fill the pews. He's looking for people to fill their hearts with him. Paul said in Philippians 3:8, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. So he considered giving up everything else that he had, all the stuff of life. That to him meant nothing. He gave that up because of the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ. We hear about people, we're drawn to certain people, sometimes who have a close relationship with God. And, you know, they sort of stand out. There's something about them. And we want to go around them. We want to get near them. We want to get a word maybe from them or have them pray for us or ask their advice about things because they seem very special. Now, God, of course, can use whoever he wants, whoever he chooses in any kind of special way. And we know the Holy Spirit, you know, gives gifts to different people and it talks about those gifts in the Word, you know, and God definitely has certain people that do that, but the fact is every one of us can know God as well as any other person. Every one of us can choose to draw close to Him and to seek His face and to get and have that personal relationship with Him. We don't have to go through another person. A lot of people have their relationship with God through other people. That's how they, you know, hey, pray for me, would you? You know, they always come up and they're always asking. They don't really ever get with God. They're always asking everybody else to pray for them. They're asking, what did the Word say? What did this say? What happened about God? How does God feel about this? But they don't want to take the time to actually get to know Him themselves. We are the one who determines at any given moment the degree of intimacy that we have with God. It's up to us. God has already done His part. He's already made a way. He's sent His Son to die for us. He ripped the veil. He did everything that He needed to do. And now it's up to us. As we sow, we reap. As we give ourselves into this relationship, we will get. How far, we have to ask ourselves, how far are we willing to go? How much are we willing to do to have a close relationship with God? How much effort are we willing to put into the relationship? You know, it's just like having a good friend. If we never call him, if we never go out with him, if we never talk to him, that friendship isn't going anywhere. But if we make an effort to, you know, to build that relationship, to spend time with that person. Maybe it's our spouse. Maybe it's our kids. Maybe it's our next-door neighbor. Maybe it's somebody we work with. Whoever it is, maybe God puts somebody on our heart and He wants us to develop a friendship with them. Well, if we're going to do that, we have to put some effort into that. And it's the same with our relationship with God. It doesn't just happen because we're a Christian. Just because we got saved, that doesn't mean all of a sudden everything is going to be perfect. And that includes our relationship with God. That's something we need to develop. It's something that needs to grow. It's something that we need to get close to Him. We need to learn about Him. We need to get at His feet like Mary was. There was a time when being intimate with God was something that was very easy and natural. In the garden, Adam and Eve were able to walk with God in the cool of the evening and talk with Him. It says that God was walking in the garden in the cool of the evening looking for Adam and Eve. But because of the fall, because of sin, because of a rebellion against God, that intimate relationship with God was severed. It was cut off. God cannot have fellowship with sin. And so when there's sin there, the relationship suffers. So because of the fall, that intimate relationship, that easy, natural, just being a friend with God, was gone. Imagine that. They actually had that at that time. And the center of our life after that, the center of all people's lives after that, in the natural, went from being God being the center of our universe, of our life, to ourself now becoming the center of our life. Light was replaced with darkness, and truth was replaced with error. We found ourselves guided by a weak moral conscience, one that was guided, determined, nurtured by the world. We were set apart from God. We were cut off from Him. We became slaves to sin. We no longer had free access to God. We were in bad shape. We were lost. That's the plight of all humanity before we come to Christ. Even when God had His tabernacle built so His people could worship Him, there was still this big curtain that was there that separated Him from everyone else. Everyone except the high priest. Now, the high priest could go in once a year, but only after he went through all this ritual cleansing and purifying and, you know, and praying and all this stuff. And then he would go in there to pray for the people and to meet with God and, you know, and get some direction from God. But that was a tough thing. See, you know, I mean, to go in there, I mean, I'm sure you've heard they had to put a rope on him just in case he wasn't clean enough and God struck him dead. And then they would drag him out. But God made a way. He made a way for us to get back to Him again. God so loved the world that He sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us so that sin could be dealt with and our relationship with God could be restored. See, it's all about this relationship. God is into relationship. He's really wanting to have this close relationship with us. Doesn't want just a surface relationship. Matthew 27:50-51 says, "And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, He gave up His spirit. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom." It was just like God from heaven took the curtain in the temple and ripped it from heaven. I mean, that's literally what happened. It ripped from top to bottom. There's no other explanation except that God did it. Because that curtain symbolized, that curtain was there to let everybody know that you could not approach God. Only the high priest could touch God. Everybody else, you had to go through somebody else. You could not have a relationship with God because of our sin. But now that Jesus came and died on the cross, everything changed. And God did it in a very out front way by ripping that curtain and showing us the temple is now open. In fact, the temple is now us. The veil that separated God from His people is gone. The sin that separated us from God has now been dealt with. We've been washed clean by the blood of Jesus because He died on the cross. So now instead of the high priest from the Old Testament, we have a new high priest. You know, the high priests from back then, they had all their duties, and they came from the Levites, there was a whole lot of them, and they all had their jobs, and they had to do these certain things over and over and over and over and over all the time, day and night. They did it, in the morning and in the evening, every day. And I'm sure there were probably lots of other special times they did it too. But now instead of the high priest from the Old Testament, we have a new high priest, an eternal high priest. And this high priest made a sacrifice that was perfect himself. That was Jesus. And He did that sacrifice once and for all. And now He sits at the right hand of the Father, and there He intercedes for us, just like the high priest did in the temple. But now Jesus does it at the throne of God, and every time we sin, He says, "Father, that's covered. If we're in Christ, if we are truly one of His, our sins are covered. We've been washed and cleansed. And He's always there, always ready to usher us into the presence of God. We might come up and we say, oh, I don't know if I, you know, I'm so dirty. No, you're not. Come on. I got you clean. I took your clothes to the cleaners. You're good. I took your sin to the cleaner. You're good. He's always ready to help us draw close to God. Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain, that is His body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, you know, that's He's explaining all that Jesus just did for us. Then He says, so then let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. There's a lot in that scripture. Here we find the call to draw near to God. And there's also some instructions, or maybe conditions you might want to call them, that are given so we can know exactly what we need to do to be able to draw near to Him, to be able to get close to God. The first thing it says that we need to have a sincere heart. What do we mean by a sincere heart? It means one that's truthful, one that's genuine, one that's honest without false motives, that we're going after God. We want to serve God not for our own selfish gain, just to get from Him. We're going after Him because we want to be there for Him. We want to love Him. We want to bring glory to His name. So we have a heart, they say, with no guile, no other purposes or plans of our own. We go after God, a sincere heart. We serve Him because we love Him. And we just want to honor Him. We can't put on a mask and pretend to be religious. God hates religion, you know? A religion that's a phony type of thing where it's just religion, where it's just the rules and the regulations. God wants relationship. I mean, not that religion is bad. I'm not saying all religion is bad, but it's God doesn't want the outward show. He doesn't want the, you know, the box that carries the personal relationship. He wants the personal relationship. If you remember reading the scriptures in the New Testament, the one group of people that Jesus, He knocked them down pretty good. And you know who they were? The hypocrites. God doesn't go up for hypocrites. People that are phony, that are just putting on a show. It's all done just to look good in front of others. We can't walk with God on a road built from lies. Psalm 101:7 says, no one who practices deceit will dwell in my house. No one who speaks falsely will stand in my presence. So God wants us to have a sincere heart. Another way we can show sincerity of our heart is through commitment. We need to be committed to Him, to knowing Him, to drawing close to Him. Real intimacy can only come through a committed relationship. 37 years ago, I made a commitment to my wife, Carolyn. And 37 years, that commitment is still there. It's remained strong. And our relationship has grown stronger because of it. And she's my partner, and there's no one in this world I love more or trust more than her. It's a covenant relationship. You know, marriage, that's what it is. And God shows us throughout His Word, He talks about marriage, and he goes back and forth talking about marriage, and then He says, of course, I'm talking about our relationship with Christ. And He talks about marriage and talking about our relationship, and it goes back and forth. We're even called the bride of Christ. Because God wants us to understand that covenant relationship, that commitment that comes with a sincere heart. But even the best marriages are only a shadow of the blessed, the blessed relationship and the intimacy that God desires to have with us. No human relationship can ever meet or match what God wants to have with us. But it's there to give us a good idea. Another sign of a sincere heart is a willingness to be broken by Him. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted." You know, there are always going to be heart issues in our life that are going to have to be dealt with. There's a lot of issues that have to be dealt with in our life. But usually they're heart issues, ultimately. And with somebody who is sincere, has a sincere heart towards God, really wants Him and loves Him, we will let God then break us and mold us and change us without running or rebelling. Sometimes we might run a little bit, but we come back. Sometimes we might get a little scared, but then we go forward with Him. And as we let God in our lives, and we let Him work in our lives, we find ourselves then drawing closer and closer to Him. The next condition for drawing close to God or nearer to God was having a full assurance of faith. Faith in what? Faith in God. Faith that He is there for you. Faith that God loves you. Faith that He's working out all the things that are going on in your life for your good if you love Him and are called according to His purpose. Faith in the finished work of the cross. Faith that the sacrifice that Jesus made it possible for us to have an intimate relationship with God. Faith that God wants to have an intimate relationship with you. See, we need to believe these things so that we can act on them, so that we can come to Him and have this faith relationship, this close, real, personal relationship. Hebrews 11:6 sort of sums it up. It says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." So see, God is saying it. If you come after Me, if you seek Me, as we sang in that song, you will find Me. If you seek Me, you will find Me. I will search. That song we sang, "I Will Search." I will search for you and I will find you if I search for you with all my heart. The next condition was having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. The blood of Christ did something that the sacrifices in the Old Testament could never do. Those sacrifices, they washed away the sin for right there. Right then, I mean, because everybody sinned again and there was no way to keep that sin cleansed and washed, so they had to go through this big ritual every time to clean them. But then as soon as they started thinking, they sinned again, pretty much. But the blood of Jesus cleansed us from the defilement of sin. And not only does it take away the actual sin itself and the penalty for that sin, but it washes the residue of that sin, the stain of that sin, off our conscience and our mind. Even if the sin is gone and we still hold on to it in our mind, in our conscience, it's going to cause a problem between us and God. Remember what happened with Adam and Eve when they sinned? Genesis 3:8. "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as He was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called out to the man, 'Where are you?' And he answered, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, because I sinned. And so I hid. See, when we have a guilty conscience, we like to hide. You ever notice that when you've done something that you know you've hurt somebody in some way, you did something that upset them, it's very awkward to see them. You don't want to see them. You need to just get it over with, get it out, and repent. And it's the same thing with God. When we repent of our sin, that guilty conscience then is wiped clean. How can we have a close relationship with God if we're always hiding from Him? We can't. That's why we need to receive God's forgiveness and be cleansed. Before Christ, our conscience was all out of whack. I mentioned a little while ago, it was basically our conscience then was something that we, it was in us, but it was sort of nurtured by the world system. It was, you know, we learned what was, we were told was right or wrong, and not according to, usually not according to God's rules, but according to what we were taught in our home, at school, what we read, what we saw. And so our conscience becomes numbed. If you put sin in front of you long enough and you allow it to be out there long enough and never deal with it, eventually it doesn't bother you anymore. Why do you think every sitcom out there just about has homosexuals in it? They're trying to numb us so that we don't think it's that bad. And yet, God tells us it's not good. But now, our conscience is able to be trained. It can be trained by God's Word, and it becomes a moral compass that points us in the right direction, and that direction will always be towards God. Instead of that wishy-washy human conscience that changes with whatever way the winds are blowing in the world. The last condition for drawing near to God was having our bodies washed with pure water. And once again, we look to the Old Testament priests, and they had to continually wash themselves with this water, with water. They would have the laver there. They would wash their hands. They would make sure their clothes were spotless and clean. They would make sure their bodies were clean. And before they would go into the temple to meet God, they had to be as clean as possible, inside and out. That was the thing. So they had to be washed. And now, because of the finished work of Christ, we have been washed clean, not from the mud from outside or the dirt from outside, but we've been freed and washed from the filth of sin. We've been freed from the filth of this world, the pollution of this world, and I don't mean the smog. I mean the garbage that's in this world that we, you know, we just, it gets on us. I mean, sometimes we don't recognize it. Sometimes we just get so oblivious to it. We just let the sin of this world sort of come on us. And we, you know, it says that we were enslaved to sin at one time. So in other words, we were like enslaved. We were enslaved in dirt. You know, they show you those people that are down in dungeons and they're always all filthy and dirty. Well, if you imagine that, that would be like how we were enslaved in sin and just all dirt and grimy, except it wasn't on the outside, it was on the inside. And now we've been washed clean from that so we can enter into God's presence. And not only is our past sin washed away, but because of the power of the Holy Spirit, as we follow His leading, He enables us or helps us to overcome the temptations and the sin that's all around us so that we can, you know, we can avoid or overcome, deal with this current sin so that we can not get all filthy again. The Holy Spirit is always going to draw us away from sin and towards God. So what we've seen today is that God definitely wants to have a closer relationship with every one of us. That's His desire. How can I please God? Get closer to Him. How can I get closer to Him? We just went over it in this message, and we're going to be hearing a lot more about that throughout the year. God's done His part by sending His Son, Jesus, who died for us. And He died. He came here to die so that He could make a way for us to get back into that relationship with the Father. That's what it was all about. That's what the forgiveness of sin is about, so we can get back to God. That's what the cross was about. That's what the blood of Jesus is about. That's what all of it was about. He's our high priest. We looked at Hebrews 10:19 through 22 and explained what Jesus did to make this closer relationship possible. All that He did. We saw that if we want to have this close relationship, we need to have a sincere heart. We need to have full assurance of faith. We need to have our conscience cleansed through the forgiveness of our sins. And we need to have our bodies cleansed from the defilement of this world and slavery to sin. And all of this is possible. Remember, with God, all things are possible. With man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And God has done everything. He's given us everything that we could possibly need to be able to get to that place with Him, to have that close relationship with Him, because that's what He desires. That's what the Word tells us to do, draw near to God. And if God tells us to do something, He makes a way for it to happen. He started the ball rolling by sending His Son Jesus to die for us. And now He continues to keep the way open, continually open, through the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit works in our life. And He'll never stop. And Jesus is always interceding for us. He's always up there at the right hand of the Father saying, yeah, let Him in, let Him. Oh, no, He's clean, He's good. Come on in, my dad wants to talk with you. That's what they're working towards. We stand at the door and knock. My Father and I will come in and we'll have supper with you. In other words, we'll just lounge around. We'll have time. We'll just take the time to get to know one another. That's what God wants. He wants us to have that kind of relationship with Him. So let's close in prayer. Hallelujah. Father, we do thank You. We thank You so much for the fact that You have made it possible for us to have a relationship with You. Something that seems impossible for us poor little human beings down here on this planet Earth to be able to have a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Heavens, the Lord of the Earth, the God of all creation, the One who created the heavens and the earth and everything that's here. Lord, that You would want to have a relationship with us is just totally awesome. It's amazing. And we thank You that You have done already for us everything that needed to be done to make it possible. And now it's up to us, Lord, to take the steps, to do the things that we need to do, to continue to build that relationship, Lord God. I thank You that You're drawing us closer to You. Thank You, Lord God. We give You all the praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen, Father. Amen.